I lived growing up and then even into my college years in this like seesaw of on good days when I didn't cuss or do anything. Oh, I am going to heaven.
Yes.
And then on bad days, I'm going to bust hell wide open. Like, which is crazy.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Well, this is fun today. I'm pretty excited to have...
Because we're on a couch? That's what it's
Yeah, that's fun. Different and fun. But we have Portia Collins with us, and just... I know that today is going to be a great day because Portia, you're here.
I am so excited to be here. And I love the setup. This is beautiful.
It is, right?
I feel really comfortable.
I know. And it looks like you were made to be in this setup with your colors. It's perfect.
What is it? Providence?
That's yes, what it's Providence. You're
well,
right.
You know, as we are studying you, we found out some unique things about you. Two, I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Gamer, Marvel movies.
Yes.
You pick.
Start with the gamer because you also say that you're a Bible nerd.
I am.
So the gamer, the Bible nerd, do those go together? What do you think?
Sometimes, yeah, because I am, if I'm playing solo, sometimes I will be listening to the Bible while I'm playing.
When really? Did that start? How old were you when you started gaming?
Oh, I started gaming. I probably was maybe 7 or 8. My mom introduced me to gaming.
What?
So my mom is
Most
a gamer.
Parents are saying
still,
no.
Still, today, my mom is still a gamer.
Come on.
Like, she's at home at my house now, holding down the fort with my husband. And she is likely going to be playing my PlayStation at some point.
Okay, who's
today.
Better? Who wins
me.
Between? Who's your favorite Marvel character, superhero?
Okay, so this is like a tricky answer because I really, really like Thor. But like that, I feel like that's the default answer. Everybody's like, yes, Odin's son, Thor. But actually, it's Doctor Strange.
Oh, really?
See, that's pretty unusual.
There's a lot of power there, though.
Yeah, I like Doctor Strange is so cool. And then, like, his origin story and all of that. You really kind of see him go from being, like, super arrogant to, like, way more humble and relatable. So, yeah, Doctor Strange.
Who's yours?
You know, Thor can be a little more self-centered at the beginning.
Yes.
But you know who was the most self-centered was Iron Man.
Yes.
I think I'd pick Iron Man.
Okay. That's a good
because
one. That's a good one.
You can't. That's mine.
Because he's a genius.
You can't
he's
pick Iron
like
Man.
He's not like one of the gods, but he's like a genius.
I like his humor.
You like his humor?
Yeah.
But
And he wants to help. He's always saving people.
He was selfish at first, but at the end, he
it
made
changed,
the ultimate,
right. We, yep.
The
we
ultimate see, sacrifice.
Yes, he did.
Is this what we're going to talk about all day?
Maybe.
I could. I love Marvel movies. I've seen all of them.
So have I.
Of course, high five.
All right, so talk about Bible nerd. We're going to talk about your book, about the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
How did this start? Were you always
a Bible nerd?
Yeah.
No, I was not. So I grew up going to church. My grandmother was the pianist and my mother was the organist of my childhood church. And so church culture, particularly like Black church culture, was something that I was very familiar with. We were always at church because if the musicians are there, then
you're there.
You know, exactly.
Sure.
And so I was always there. I grew up with an understanding of like parts of who Christ was, but not a full understanding of that. And so my understanding of the gospel was that Jesus had cleared the plate. Mm. And it was like, in my mind, it was like, okay, now it's time for me to put something back on the plate. So I lived growing up and then even into my college years in this like seesaw of on good days when I didn't cuss or do anything. Oh, I am going to heaven.
Yes.
And then on bad days, I'm going to bust hell wide open. Like, which is crazy. Like, even like we know in scripture, it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's exactly what I was. I was so I had such a warped understanding.
And probably fearful.
Yes, 100% fearful.
I mean, that's a lot. I think a lot of American
100%
majority.
Maybe it's true everywhere in the world, but I know here I felt the same way.
Yes. But the book of Galatians is where my life changed. And so I grew up, like I said, had this understanding. I knew of God, I knew of Jesus, but I didn't really understand what Christ, like what the work of salvation was. And so when I got to college, I was a religious girl, but it's like, as soon as you get from under the thumb of your mama and your grandmama, you just start doing whatever you think you big and bad enough to do. And that was me. And so I got to college. And the crazy thing was, outwardly, I had this outward persona of I was a president scholar. I graduated, you know, summa cum laude, student government association, all these outward things. It's like, oh, she's great.
Yeah. But and she's got it all together.
Yeah. And she's got it all together. But you pull the curtain back a little bit. And I was hot mess. I was a hot mess. And God.
What did the hot mess look like?
Oh my
God. I want the dirt.
You want the dirt. Yeah. Seriously. And I'm real about keeping it. I mean, let's just be honest, like fornicating, like just living by the beat of my own drum, you know, in relationships that I had no business being in. I was the God of my life, you know? And there were times when I felt justified in that because I had this outward persona of like, I'm checking the boxes. But inwardly, I was struggling because I still knew that something in the water ain't clean. And it was really breaking me down.
What did you feel?
I think what God allowed me to go really come to a place where I had to grapple with my sin. And it was brokenness, despair. Because here's the thing. The point that we end up in with sin is never where we start. And we can't see just how big, bad, and deep it goes. And
it always takes you farther than you wanted to go.
So you had probably guilt and shame along with
100%.
That too.
That's why, 100%. And so once I got to that point where I was, there was so much guilt, so much shame, it felt like my good stuff was no longer outweighing my bad stuff. I lost it. I was so broken. I remember honestly feeling like my life was not worth living anymore.
Wow. Ooh. Was this your freshman year?
No. So this was after I graduated. So I went all the way through college.
So you're just partying hard.
So yes. And still making good grades, doing all these things. Yeah. And after I graduated, I hit the real world. And so the same school that I graduated from, I actually, my first big girl job was there. I was an admissions counselor. And that's when it's like life hit me in the face. Like I'm paying bills. I got an apartment. Now all my friends, all of us are scattered across the country. Mm. All of the things that I felt like I was using to hide or even not let my mind go to the reality of what my life was, it was gone.
And like I had stripped.
Yes.
And I felt lonely.
100%. Lonely, broken. What is my life? Confused. All of these things. And so I went back to a fundamental principle that I learned as a church girl. Read your Bible. Pray. I'm desperate. Lord, I'm broken. I'm just going to read my Bible and pray.
Your kids are fighting again.
Yep.
Somebody spilled something sticky.
Yep.
The coffee's cold. And suddenly, you're angry before 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
If you've ever wondered, why do I keep reacting this way? You're not alone.
And you forgot there's poop everywhere. So here's the deal. We've got author and mom of four, Janelle Breitenstein. She did a 5-session video series designed just for you moms to help you get to the root of your anger. Mm. And let me tell you, Janelle has brutal honesty, humor, biblical truth, and practical help. And she explores triggers, fears, and whether anger can ever be godly and why our kids bring out so much in us.
We all need this. So sign up free at familylife.com/momanger.
Isn't it interesting how we never want to be where you were, lonely, at the end of the rope, and yet it's the most beautiful place because it's when we finally look up.
Yes.
It's like everything else that we've looked toward is like, it's empty, it's not fulfilling me. There's got to be something else. And there you go back to your roots.
Yes. And I didn't even know what I was doing. So this just shows the sovereignty of God and how he works through things. Because I was just going back to, it was like, I needed hope. And I was like, okay, this is the only place that I know, because ain't nothing else giving it to me. Right. My job is not giving it to me. My relationship, yeah. None of that. And so I go back and I just started every night when I would get off work from my big girl job, I would read scripture.
Did you pray?
Yes, I would pray.
Had you been to a point of repentance at that point, or were you just kind of praying?
I definitely think I was at a point of repentance because I had already started cutting off things that I was like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Lord, whatever you don't want from me, I don't want from myself. And so I had reached that point. Yeah. It was like almost like finally coming out of the hole, out of that sunken place. And so, like I said, I'm reading scripture. I remember being so hungry, and even things that I didn't understand. Like I remember during the work hours, I would be listening to sermons like from John Piper and Tim Keller, and I feel like I cut my teeth on the New Living Translation because I grew up King James Version and couldn't understand who speaks Old English. None of us. And I remember seeing some YouTuber or somebody talking about, you know, get a Bible that you understand. And so I got a Life Application Study Bible.
That's mine too. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, but NLT. And I would read every evening, and the notes in it were so good. And so this particular evening, I decided to read Galatians for no other reason other than it was 6 chapters and I knew that I could finish it in one sitting.
That's why I was wondering why Galatians?
That's the only thing.
But this was, like, I'm telling you, this is the providence of God. Yeah. Yes. Because I picked this just like I had been hearing people say, read scripture in context, you know, start from the beginning. And I was like, oh, this is 6 chapters. I can definitely read this one tonight in one sitting. I tell you, hand up, when I finished, my face was to the floor. I was like laying on the floor weeping because for the first time ever, I truly understood the gospel. It was as if a weight had been lifted from me because I finally understood that Jesus doesn't just clear the plate. He is the plate. He puts it all on the plate.
You got all that in one reading of Galatians.
That is God. Because I was like, how'd she get it? Like, Galatians? How's she on the floor with Galatians? That's it.
100%. And then from there, I just kept drilling in. Like, the book gripped me so much that I feel like I spent the next 10 years of all the books in scripture, I know, I would reread Galatians over and over and study it more, and it became more profound. Mm. But that very first reading was like, I saw it so clearly. Like, I am not justified by all this stuff. Like, Jesus justifies me, period. Like, and if you really read the book of Galatians, Paul is making that so clear. His whole, the first half is just like a case study on, this work is Christ. Mm. There's nothing that you can add to it or take away.
Well, I mean, and he keeps us, you know, better than anybody. You wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, as we were getting ready to interview you, I'm like, I got to read Galatians again. I was in seminary. I studied it. I studied it in the Greek. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long time. And I'm reading it yesterday. And Paul, from the first verse, is hammering these people.
Hammering.
Like, what are you doing? You've added. So was that something that really got your attention?
Talking to me. Yeah. And maybe because I was reading the New Living Translation that it felt more clearer. Because prior to that, I'd been reading, like I said, King James Version. But it was as if
fresh too.
Yes. Like, it was like he was talking to me. Like, girl, you are out here and you are trying to add. You're vacillating from legalism to lawlessness. Either you're living in a way where you feel like you're just justifying yourself through your good grades and your job and who your mom and them is and
all
of this.
What you're not doing anymore.
Yeah.
Read that in the Bible. Like when you, like parts of it, like just take us to the scriptures of what you read. Look at your beat up little Bible.
I know,
there.
It is
that an NLT version?
This one is an ESV.
Okay.
So as I grew into being more of a Bible nerd,
yes,
I started exploring translations more, and
You're getting closer to the original text.
Yep. What I like, word for word translations. Yeah. I like some that are what I consider an optimal balance, like CSB.
Yeah.
But ESV is...
CSB. Bruce, CSB.
Yeah, CSB.
See, they're our sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Mr. CSB. They know it, too.
We just got 5 points for that one.
Yeah,
you can find out more about that at csbible.com.
There you go.
There we go, Bruce.
csbible.com.
Perfect.
Or as Ann always says, csbbible.com. No, csbible.com. Well, yeah. I've got an ESV here as well.
All right. Perfect.
Hey, by the way, there's some, you know, listeners and viewers saying, what's the difference? Should I do an ESV? Should I do an NIV?
I love to talk about this. Yes. So first and foremost, God's word is God's word. And also, there aren't many of us out here reading Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic. Right. As the original manuscripts.
Like I always do.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. You're fancy. Yeah. So I always tell people.
No, I don't. Just in case you're wondering.
if you're not, you know, there's no reason to feel like, well, I got to read the King James Version because that's how it was written. Actually, no, it was written in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. So if you're reading anything other than those things, then you're not reading in the original languages. Mm. So that kind of gives us a little bit of humility to start with in picking our translations. And then from there, my advice is always, if you are new, like, to Bible study, I personally think that you need to get the easiest translation that you can understand to start.
And then from there,
you can, you know, move to word for word translations.
But Portia, I will say, I remember I was 16 when I surrendered my life to Jesus, and I didn't grow up in a church. I had tried to read it, like, this thing doesn't even make sense, before I was a believer. And when I was a believer, when I had first started reading it, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly how I feel. I was like, I've been in church all these years and just could not see it, you know? And I knew I had such a disjointed view of scripture.
Yeah.
And so
I
could cherry pick and I could quote John 3:16 if somebody asked me, well, you know, what is the gospel? And I'm quoting John 3:16, but when God really showed me, like, the fullness of his word, and even now, like, at the big age or little age of 38 now, I know I still don't have all of it, but there's so much there now that was not there before.
So rich.
And and I never get tired of it.
Me neither.
It never gets old.
I'm on year 20 of reading the Bible through every year, and every year I'm like, are you kidding me? I never saw this before. It just keeps getting better and richer.
100%. Yeah, and I'll add this because I want you to jump into it. But think about this. If you want a great marriage, this is your foundation.
100%.
What would happen if you and your wife, you and your husband, and if they won't, you do it. But it's like, what if we build our life on the word of God? Amen. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change your legacy.
Amen.
All right, enough of that.
Yeah,
where do you want to go?
This is going to be very interesting, but this is... probably
everybody expects you to go to Galatians 2:20.
No, I'm going to Galatians 3. I'm going to Galatians 3 when Paul is 100% not pulling his punches. And he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Which is interesting because I didn't know this, but as I've studied more and more, this word bewitched, you don't see it mentioned anywhere else.
Yeah, I can't remember hearing that anywhere.
It is not. It's not mentioned anywhere else. I know specifically in the New Testament, but I definitely don't think anywhere else. So he's using some language where he's like, y'all are crazy, okay? Who has bewitched you?
You should do your own version.
I know. People say this all the time, the Portia Bible. Portia version, the PSV. But he's saying, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? I wish I had my NLT because it sounds even plainer in the NLT. But it's like he's saying it like, are you crazy? Like, did you actually work or make yourself have the Spirit? The work that, like, did you do this? Are you now trying to, like, perfect. And I think that word perfected hit me too, because I'm Portia, and I am a recovering perfectionist. And so when I read this, I'm like, oh, this is me. He is talking to me, and I am foolish, and I have been bewitched.
I mean, here's the NLT.
Read it.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross.
Yes.
Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ.
Yes.
What did that
word believe? It was like, okay. And then I start reconciling things that I knew, like John 3:16. Like, we don't see anything else in there. It says, whosoever believes. And so I'm thinking, and like, you got to take all this, the totality of this book in, because as I'm reading this, it's almost as if Paul is anticipating what questions are arising as he's saying this. So even as I was reading this at the time, I'm saying, okay, so all it is, I believe in Christ, what he has done, his work on the cross is sufficient, and I am saved. Then it's like, now what? And then Paul says, I got your now what. Now this is how you live in light of that. Not because you're doing anything to save yourself. It's because of your salvation that you now live in a way that pleases God, that glorifies God, that really was the way that he intended.
Amazing thing about what Paul's writing to the Galatians is he could say the exact same thing to us today.
Absolutely. 100%.
We are bewitched.
We do it today.
In the church.
Yes, in ministry. Yeah. Even now, I recently just wrote a blog on my Substack, and the title of it is I'm Not That Great. And the reason why I wrote it, because I realized how much I still, even now, struggle with perfectionism and how particularly that is exposed when there are areas where I realize I'm not that great, that I can be forgetful, that I can miss, that I'm not always operating in this sense of excellence. Even though I want to, there are moments when, I mean,
we're just human.
Yes, my humanness is exposed. And in those moments, it has been such a hit that I've even struggled, like, did I really hear you clearly, God? Yeah. And God is constantly showing me, girl, you're not putting anything on this plate. Yeah, you missed the mark on this.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm Jesus.
That's a good reminder, too.
And I need it because, like I said, especially when you have a type A personality, you are like high functioning, overachiever, always want to make, love it when people is like, great job, Portia, you came through
that's
for us.
Too.
And when you have a moment when somebody's like, you didn't come through for us this time. You missed it this time. I cannot take that and then begin to let that inform my identity.
Yes.
Christ informs identity.
I mean, so much of Galatians is about identity in Christ. We'll get into that tomorrow. In fact, teaser for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Give us one thought on, you're a mom, you're a wife. Is there a thought based on everything you've just talked about that informs you as a woman of God and as a wife or as a mom?
Don't answer it.
No. Just tease us.
Tease us.
Like,
now you know I'm not a lady of few words.
See, I mean, I think that's the teaser. The question is,
I would say freedom.
Okay.
That would be the teaser. Freedom in my role as a wife. Freedom in my role as a mom.
Uh-oh.
Freedom, like.
All right, that's enough.
All right, okay.
Because that's a good one. Because we don't always associate freedom with being a mom or a wife.
Or a dad or a husband.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we're going to hit that tomorrow. And by the way, her 8-week Bible study is called Finding Freedom.
Yeah.
And you can get it at familylifetoday.com. Just click on the link in the show notes. But tomorrow we're going to take that concept, this book of Galatians, and say, okay, how's it impact marriage, family, legacy?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
All right, let me just say this. We know life is full of challenges, and families today need biblical truth more than ever. Isn't that true?
That is true.
And as a Family Life partner, your monthly gift helps bring the truth into homes every single day through podcasts, events, and resources.
So let's make a lasting difference together. Become a partner today. Just go to familylifetoday.com and click the donate button.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry celebrating 50 years of God's faithfulness as marriages grow stronger and families flourish in Him.